Welcome to another episode of Ultimate Key to Freedom, questions, answers, comments, etc. Let me start out by saying that my voice may sound different, and let me explain why, and I want to share a few things about that before we actually get into the questions, because I think it might be interesting, supportive, entertaining, whatever. Last week, at the time of this recording, which is May 28th, 2015, my son was home all week sick, and my kids, I wouldn't say they get sick a lot at the story level, but they get sick, and I'm around other people who are sick, and in general, the Robert character rarely gets sick, period, or catching something, so to speak, from somebody else. But what appeared last week is Aiden was here all week, and then he was going over to back to his mother's after being here for a week last Sunday, and I woke up Sunday morning and started to notice the appearance of, let's call it, sick symptoms, in quotes, that were matching very much what he was describing. And they grew more and more intense, lasted for about 4 days, 4.5 days. They're on their way out now as I'm recording this. It was a very interesting experience because, again, the experience was total immersion red, and it was experienced with a capital E in a very different way than quote-unquote being sick was experienced by the Robert character for most of his life. And it was fascinating because the appearances and inner space related to this were quite intense. I'll just use that language to paint you a picture. If this was 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, what I would have said is my head was pounding and was killing me, and I had a horrible headache, and my whole body ached. And God, I hope that I didn't cough because it felt like my lungs were going to explode. And then my throat started to ache. And every time I coughed, my throat would hurt. And oh my God, this is awful. And at various points in my life, I might have gone to a doctor to get something to immediately make the bad stuff go away. Or I might have allowed it to be, knowing it was the body healing and letting it run its course. But it's very interesting because what naturally appeared, no technique, no philosophy, no theory, no mind game, no trying to change, fix, or improve what's going on with some buzzword or some, you know, sugar-coated whatever. What it was appeared was not my body, not my head, my body not aching, so to speak, is not how it appeared. My head aching is not how it appeared. My lungs about to explode every time I coughed, and horrible pain is not how it appeared. How it appeared is the pure raw experience of what was happening. And there was a slight, probably because True Creative Essence knew it was going to write that I'd come talk about this, there was a slight awareness of, wow, look at this. I remember how I would have looked at this and how I would have responded to this and how all of this would have appeared to me a long time ago. And isn't it amazing that the pure raw experience, no matter how big it gets, so to speak, no matter how intense it gets, no matter how ugly, so to speak, the story would have been once, it can be perceived as a pure raw experience or a pure raw experience and a story, but total immersion red. Now, in this case, it was not a pure raw experience with a story that was total immersion red. It was just a pure raw experience. There's no point in spending time here trying to describe what was the pure raw experience that I would have once described as my lungs exploding when I coughed, or that I would have once, you know, it was appearances that had magnetic things, that had unique characteristics, all the kinds of things we've talked about. Some of them got zoomed in and were very big. It just wasn't any big deal. And I didn't work. I pretty much spent the entire 4 days watching movies and sleeping, and a few television show episodes that I had archived from subscriptions on iTunes. And however long it was going to last, it was going to last. There used to be a character in inner space that would always say, okay, why is this happening? There's got to be a reason. What's this setting into motion that's beneficial to me? Am I noticing something that's supportive or interesting or whatever? Am I aware of some benefit that I'm getting because I got slammed with this thing? And there wasn't that. It was just, you know, again, you don't do that when you're reading a book. If you're reading a book and on page 257, you read that Sally Johnson woke up and felt flu symptoms, the flu symptoms of her son coming on strongly. And then, you know, she was feeling this and she was feeling that. And she went to the medicine cabinet, and every time she coughed, it was like her lungs were exploding. You're, as a total immersion reader, saying, okay, Sally Johnson's sick. Okay, it really hurts her when it coughs. I feel for her, whatever. And you just keep reading, you keep turning the pages, you're feeling, but it's a different thing. And that's very much what was going on. And as it turns out, it appears to be on its way out, so to speak, today, which is day four. I'm doing this audio at 8:30 in the morning on Thursday. This started on Friday, Sunday morning. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this is day four. If you take it literally that way, lots of wild movement of symptoms and changing of symptoms and sweating and no sweating and being cold and being warm, just to use those terms to you can understand. They're just labels and stories too, to describe different appearances. There was the illusion of fever and not fever, according to the story. Again, the reality is da 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 was appearing. And I did check with a thermometer, but all that is an appearance of a little device that says da 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 number. Again, it's amazing how seductive and powerful the stories are, and how little true creative essence really has to do, like in movies and TV shows, in order to make something appear to be real. So anyway, that's the introduction. That's why my voice may sound a little different than it normally does. I won't know if that's the case until I actually listen to the recording. So here we go. We got a lot of questions or comments this week, so this is going to be a long audio. You probably already know that by looking at the references on the download page. This first one is from Sherry. Hi, Robert. This isn't a question about the ultimate key to freedom in particular. I studied with you exclusively for 6 years. Busting loose to being in truth, did all the classes, watched all the movies, read all the books, and before Ultimate Key to Freedom, you gave a list of other authors to read and learn from. I read those and rewatched movies and went over different parts of the courses, reread books, etc. In the storyline, have experienced a very difficult last 2 years and wasn't able to study much at all, taking care of seven people and witnessing much death. And after my husband of almost 41 years passed away this February, felt the time was right to study again with you with Ultimate Key to Freedom. I watched the first day in the movie, did the closed eye meditation, started on the second day and finished the second video, and for some reason have been unable to watch anymore. With the thinking process, all I want to do is finish, but I do everything but finishing. There seems to be much confusion as to why. Do you think it's the true creative essence isn't ready to go on, or is there just a block of some sort that is saying stop? Using words, it has become very frustrating. I'm in a thinking mode again and haven't had the aha moments I've been hoping for. I know you said you can't go back, but it sure feels like I have. I downloaded all episodes and was wanting to continue on with Amethyst, but I'm just struggling with uncertainty. I was just wondering if you've seen this happen before, and was there a resolution? I don't know why I'm unable to move forward when I'm thinking that's all I want to do. Thanks for your time. Okay, Sherry. Well, first of all, at the story level, I feel like saying I'm sorry for your loss. I have not experienced someone significant to me that really mattered dying, as you may have heard me say before, and I know that's a big experience that can stimulate many, many things. So, my empathy goes out to you, so to speak, at the story level. In terms of the question here, it's quite interesting to me, and maybe it will be to you and others listening after I say the first bit here and then continue on. Underneath this is an assumption, is a story. When you start a course, you need to go through it and you need to finish it. And faster is better. And if you don't just go through it, boom, 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 then there's a problem. There's a block. There's something wrong, or they could be, and it could be, and I need to find out what it is and blow away that block so that I can proceed. And here's the thing. Some of the other courses that I offered, Masters of Light, for example, Being in Truth, for example, there was, in fact, a lesson that came every week. But there was no a must. There was no assignment. There was no, you need to do these every week and you need to stay on time and you need to stay current and you need to do these things, you know, drop it, make it a priority, make sure you get every lesson done every week. If you may remember, it was explained at the beginning that you're going to get something every week. I don't want you to go faster than that. But if you go slower than that, it doesn't matter. If the course is finished in 24 weeks, which is the way it's sent, fine. If it's 48 weeks, fine. If it's 4 years, fine. Doesn't matter. So, and with Ultimate Freedom, I mean, when the people came to the live event in Sedona, you know, bearing them leaving and changing their mind and going home or something, I mean, you pretty much had to go through day one, day two, day three, day four, days sequentially from 9 to 5 or 6 or whatever it was. And it wasn't an assignment, but you kind of had to do it. But with the Ultimate Freedom Online experience, there was no must. There was no schedule. There was no, you should get this done in 4 days. There was no, you should get this done in 3 weeks. Now, bear in mind, I'll get to this. It doesn't matter if I had given it as an assignment. Do this as quickly as possible. Do one video a day, you know, for 16 days. It wouldn't matter if I gave that assignment. That would just be a character saying something, and True Creative Essence could do whatever it wanted to do. But I'm just pointing out that there's a story that's running here, that there's a problem, and there's no problem. There's no problem at the truth level, because True Creative Essence, if you're going through this course, if the Sherry character is going through this course at a particular pace, it's because that's the way it was written. If you're reading a novel and there's a character in it named Sherry, and she just signed up for an online course, and you're reading the novel, you're turning the pages, and she's narrating the same thing you are, it's because the author wrote it that way. If Sherry went through this thing, boom, 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 in 4 days, then that's what True Creative Essence wrote. Whatever appears is what True Creative Essence wrote. So the fact that there's a start and a stop here is because that's the way it's been written. Why? You know, part of it is obviously to me, to my bias, could be wrong, in order to create this dialogue and to push on this particular dynamic, which isn't just about this, it's about a lot of things. And my guess is this is a pointer to other things that have been happening in this, in the Sherry story, that are part of the cloud cover, which is stories being made up, pressure being put on the Sherry character, judgment of the Sherry character, assuming and feeling there's a problem when there isn't, trying to fix it when it doesn't need to be, when it's fine the way it is. Not because metaphysically everything is fine and perfect the way it is, but just because there isn't any problem here on any level, even at the story level. There's no rush. There's no hurry. So anyway, that's the first thing that I wanted to share, is there isn't a problem here. It's not better or right if you had gone through this and just gone through boom, 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 boom every day, whatever was the imagined best way to do this that this comment is coming from. Underneath that also, my belief is, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm sharing it so there's support in me sharing it, even if it is inaccurate, is that underneath this, what I just said, there's another level, I believe, which is, to one degree or another, Sherry is in pain right now at the story level. It's not really pain, but there's discomfort that's appearing here with not being okay with what is. And there's the hope, there was the hope, that by going through Ultimate Freedom, this pain would be handled. The confusion in your life would be resolved. The negative in your life, so to speak, would be fixed. You would be helped somehow. And so then what that dropped down into is, okay, well then the faster I can get through this, the faster I can get the help that I want and make this bad thing go away. I'm being very general, but you know what I mean. And so when all of a sudden there was a blockage, then all of a sudden what it was is, shit. I signed up for this course because I want to get help with da-da-da-da. I want relief from da-da-da-da. I want to change, fix, and improve, da-da-da-da. And if I don't get through the class, then I can't get the help. And so this block is a bad thing, because now I can't get the relief and the help and the change, fix, and improve, whatever that I want. My sense is, bear with the language, something like that is at work here, hidden underneath. Maybe you're aware of it, maybe you're not. Maybe you agree with this in terms of the buzzword, the mind machine, with me initially saying it. Maybe there's instant recognition of the accuracy of what I said. Maybe there's resistance. We'll see where that goes. These are the most important pieces. You have to also remember, and this doesn't have that much oomph or power or significance, but it's coming through, so it's coming through. If you remember, actually, you haven't gotten to that yet. When you get to day three, or maybe you have by the time I'm answering this, when you get to day three, you're going to hear about what's called my story. And you're going to hear about what happened in the Robert story that is what facilitated ultimate freedom awakening at the story level. And that was something that unfolded over multiple years. So if you want to compare that to a course, and this is not a good metaphor, but I'm just trying to make a point. There was starts, there was stops, there was insights, bear with the language, that true creative essence gave me. There were things that changed. There was the equivalent of watching a few videos and then stopping, and then struggling with something, and then watching a few more videos, so to speak, and then stopping, and then struggling with something, or just living, or whatever it was. And so my course, quote unquote, had a lot of starts and stops and jumbles and what appeared to be progress and what appeared to be slipping back. And it doesn't mean anything. You know, again, there's a lot of people that come to the Ultimate Freedom online experience. Again, it's different if somebody comes live. And they, you know, they do a marathon and they go through the thing in 4 days. You know, they go through the thing in 6 days. They go through the thing in 10 days, 2 weeks, pretty quick, given the amount of contact. And there are other people that take months, and there are other people that start, and I guess I'm not aware of anybody in specific, but my guess is there are people who start and never finish. And there are people that start and finish, you know, could take them a year, could take them 6 months, could take them 8 months. And True Creative Essence will write, moving through the stuff becoming conscious, the stuff going into the mind machine and doing what it does at whatever pace is best for the story. And again, for me, it wasn't 4 days. It wasn't 5 days. It was 3 years in which the kinds of things that are possible through ultimate freedom ran their course, and I became aware of those things. So again, these are the most important things that I have to share with you. Prior to me answering this question, I see that you did sign up for the Amethyst program. You did that upgrade, so that decision was made. And similarly, as part of that Amethyst upgrade, you're going to get things, sometimes multiple things a week, sometimes once a week, sometimes at a slower, different kind of a pace. You may consume those things as you get them. You may let them build up and then do things in bursts. It doesn't matter. It's all raw material for building stories, and True Creative Essence is writing all of it in the perfect way to support the Sherry story in unfolding perfectly. So again, the whole thing about the confusion as to why, I understand that. I know there's a lot of people listening that can identify with that. There's a lot of characters whose mind machines were built to ask why about everything and to overanalyze. I'll just use that terminology, no disrespect meant. I was the same way. Overanalyze everything, always looking for a why. You'll recognize I made a comment about that, about the quote-unquote illness that the Robert character got. It's nothing but a mind machine program. It's nothing but the mind machine running its three questions. And this, again, is proof, evidence, whatever, for you or anyone else listening, that that is exactly what goes on, exactly the way I described it, which is the mind machine observed you start the course. The mind machine observed you stop the course. So what is this? Bear with the language here, you'll know what I mean. Sherry stopped watching videos. What does this mean is the next question. And you don't know the answer to that. So your mind machine is stuck on the second question. Why? What does this mean? Why did I stop? Why am I not continuing? I really want to continue. And again, my belief is, bear with the language, when you say that you really wanted to, that to me is the piece of you really wanted to because you hoped that it would solve a big problem, give you relief, help you in some specific way. And so that was the mind machine thing of looking at this course because it wanted to get something from it in specific. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing bad about that. But as I said, then that's why there's the desire to do it, because there's the desire to get the benefits. And then there's the observing, well, I have the desire for the benefits. I was thinking I'd go through this course, and now I'm not. So buzz were, What is this? Not finishing the course, not continuing to watch videos. What does that mean? The mind machine doesn't have an answer. And so you say you're confused. And that's what confusion is. When the mind machine doesn't have an answer or certainty or confidence, even if it's incorrect, about the answer to that question. And that's all. Doesn't matter. On this journey, anytime there's the question of why is this happening to me, the answer is always because it supports the story somehow. Now, that isn't generally satisfying, especially to the mind machine that's looking for specific story space, storyline details as to the specifics of why. Okay, fine. So I get that, Robert. It's helping the story. How? What specific thing is it doing that's helping the story? Well, again, if you're reading a novel, if you're watching a movie, watching TV show episodes, the screenwriter, the novelist, nothing's in the story unless it's contributing to the story. It would be cut if it didn't. Somehow, every single detail, every word, if it's a novel, every image, every word, every everything, if it's every person on the screen, if it's a movie or TV show supporting the story, you don't always know how. You don't analyze it. You don't dissect it. You don't need to know how. That's the truth. And that's enough. You don't need any more. It's just in day-to-day life with mind machines programmed in a certain way, generally with fear and trying to protect itself from further fear, as Michael talked about with identity to essence, Michael Haig and the story stuff, which maybe you haven't gotten to yet, but you will if you haven't. There doesn't need to be a specific why. But the answer to the question is because it somehow is very supportive to the story, and maybe the specific why will become clear at some point, maybe it won't. At this point in my life, so to speak, in my story, rarely is that kind of a specific given for something, particularly something that would have once been considered confusing, that on the surface level didn't appear to make sense, didn't appear to have a reason or whatever, just doesn't matter. There's total immersion reading of the story. There's the total immersion reader awake, knowing if it's happening, it was written. If it was written, it's somehow supporting the story. Turn the page. Let's see what's going to happen. Okay. Sherry, that's what I feel motivated to share with you. My suggestion would be listen to this. Let it sit. Listen to it again. Let it sit. Let it be drops in the pond. See how they ripple out. And I'm happy to continue the dialogue. Going forward, if there's additional interaction you'd like to have on this. But again, no big deal, no problem. A break is being given from watching the videos because it's supportive for whatever reason. Part of it clearly is this. I've said this before. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. I'll say it again. This isn't a rule or a formula. It's not something new technique or something to apply. It's something that the Robert character used to believe a long time ago, used to teach in the early days when I was doing Invisible Path to Success and 11th Element. But it still seems to be pretty relevant, although it appears to be a technique. And on that level, it isn't something that the Robert character does anymore, but there's still validity in it. So I'm sharing it, which is I used to teach, if you want to know why something's happening to you, you may never know at all. You may never know the complete story if it's a very complex why. But if you want to try to figure out the why, and this is the part that I don't do anymore, but I used to need and want to do when I was younger, or at least get clues to why something's happening, take a look at what it set into motion as best as you can tell. What happened afterwards? What happened during? What did it appear to set into motion? And the odds are you'll get some interesting clues. You may get the ultimate answer, whatever, by simply becoming aware of what happened as a result. And so if we look at this, there's probably other things, but one thing that happened as a result is that you sent in this question, this comment, and I just shared with you what I shared with you. So my bias is that's definitely part of why it happened, but I don't think it's the whole why. I think there are other things going on, but it's useful to the story. And the odds are at some point, the motivation to continue will appear again and you'll go through other videos. Perhaps you have. This question may have been sitting for a while and you may have resumed watching videos and there, you may go through the course then in one big boom. You may start and stop and it may take you 6, 8 months, whatever. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just the story. Okay, moving on to the second question. I'm taking a little sip of water here. Okay, this one is from, I'm going to say Avon. Avon, if that's mispronouncing your name, I apologize. Please correct me in a future communication if I did, but I'll stick with Avon here. Avon has completed day 4, video 6. I just completed the materials, and in trying to reconcile with busting loose. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Avon, when you say trying to reconcile with busting loose, you may already know this, but let me just make it clear and shine a bright spotlight on the fact that when you use those words, trying to reconcile with busting loose, what that means is classic illustration of how the mind machine works and what happens with characters, of which Robert was one on steroids, who go heavily into intellect and logic and thinking and analysis as their characters are built and as the mind machine is built, is that the mind machine is became aware of the ideas and concepts and the raw material of what was shared in the course, and now it's doing its buzzword. It's saying, what is this? Okay, it's a new idea. It's new ideas, it's new concepts, it's new material. What does this mean? It's on the second question. Okay, well, in busting loose, he said this, now he said that. In busting loose, it was this, now it's that. And the mind machine, at a pure idea concept, intellectual, logical, rational, whatever level, is trying to cobble things together, reconcile things, deal with its gigantic file cabinet. Which file do I put this in? What do I cross-reference it with? It's on automatic pilot. And as you've heard me talk about, if you've listened to some of the archives recently, it's pure idea and concept level that all of this is going on. It's dance. It's the dance of the mind. It's the dance of ideas and concepts and thoughts. Sometimes dancing, sometimes fighting, sometimes arguing, sometimes debating. But there's no experience of anything. It's just an intellectual evaluation of ideas and concepts. Nothing wrong with it. Makes perfect sense. But before we continue, maybe you'll address this, maybe you won't. I just want to make that clear. That's what's going on. It's not Avon as an individual who's trying to reconcile anything. Avon is the total immersion reader of the Avon story. Avon is true creative essence, total immersion reading the Avon story. And as the total immersion reader, there is awareness of the fact that the mind machine is trying to reconcile all of this. It's trying to update and reorganize and put new file folders together and cross-reference and list them. It's like 10,000 new websites just launched and the Google spiders just picked them up, and the Google database and the computer is busily working, buzzing and whirring, trying to integrate the new 10,000 websites and their content into the existing database and link everything and resolve everything and everything else. But this is a machine trying to do that, trying to compare and contrast and get all the ducks in a row and cross I's and dot T's and all these things to be able to integrate the busting loose teachings and the ultimate freedom teachings and wrap it all up with a nice bow. And my guess is that, Avon, this is the way your character has been built. Robert was. It may be something that you will have thought was your claim to fame, one of your great strengths, the secret of success that you've had, whatever, is your ability to synthesize things like this, your ability to think and analyze and, you know, these kinds of things. Robert, I used to feel that way. I could be wrong on this, but again, it's what's coming through, so my bias is it's supportive to one degree or another. So anyway, I just want to start there. That's all it is. It's the mind machine doing its thing with the content that you just absorbed. And you're aware of it. Who you really are, being true creative essence, total immersion reading, you are aware of the mind machine that's Avon, so to speak, the Avon mind machine buzzing and whirring and trying to reconcile, as you said, this massive new input of data, ideas, and concepts. Okay, so having said that, let's continue. And I know you said was written from a different perspective, and hearing about your financial challenges, Where would you put your comments about money when you said in A Busting Loose, the money takes care of itself, however it takes care of itself? You're stopping. I'm going to stop there because you continue, but let me just address that. Now, what you just said is, again, reinforcing and supportive of what I just shared with you. The mind machine, as it's going through this game that I just said, this dance, this mind game, it is remembering that, quote, the money takes care of itself however it takes care of itself. And so it's looking at that, and in a way it's saying, okay, I accepted that is true. But based on what I just discovered, and again, pure idea and concept, you may get to this, Avon, you may not, but the whole 4 days of the experience, there's a lot of stuff of, here's what a thought is, here's what a feeling is. Now stop, verify this for yourself. I don't want you to think about any of this. I don't want you to accept any of this on faith. I want you to verify all of this for yourself. The only thing that matters here is what you can actually observe in your own direct experience. This is not about theories or ideas or concepts. And even though you've been through the whole 4 days, and again, I'm not being critical here. I'm just shining a light on what I'm seeing going on here. No problem. Happens all the time. No big deal. But I'm shining the light on the fact that everything here is still at the idea and concept level. There's nothing that's being shared here indicating any of it has dropped down to experience. This is just the mind machine buzzing and worrying on pure ideas and concepts, primarily driven by particular ideas and concepts from the Busting Loose thing that somehow took prominence, stood out, whatever. So if I take what you're saying literally, which isn't really all that important to my bias, but the money takes care of itself, however it takes care of itself, that's still true. There's when you say the money takes care of itself, however it takes care of itself, there's nothing in that that says you'll always pay your bills on time. There's nothing in that that says you won't ever have to borrow money again. There's no specific in that. The money did take care of itself as it took care of itself during that story. It's taking care of itself now in the way that it takes care of itself as the Robert story continues. There's no contradiction, there's no violation, unless there was an assumption in the Avon mind machine that the money takes care of itself, however it takes care of itself, meant something in specific. And that's what I think is what happened here, is that that was interpreted to mean you'll never have tough times, money will never be tight, you'll always have plenty of money, you'll always pay your bills on time, blah, blah, blah. There was no such definition. So again, there's an opportunity here to really see a great example of the mind machine buzz were at work, how mesmerizing its output can be, how we can so easily skim along ideas and concepts, get involved in this dance, get involved in the fighting or dancing of thoughts with each other, and not see what actually is going on, and the distortions that are involved in a lot of this. Again, I'm not being critical or judgmental. Been there, done that for most of my life. But my bias is I'm shining the light of truth on this. And so again, at the literal level, the money takes care of itself. However it takes care of itself, that's true. That is what's happening. There is no implied, definition that takes a certain shape, that it means a certain thing. And actually, if you remember, which again, there's probably a mind machine objection to what I say in day four, there's no guarantee of any particular content with ultimate freedom. The only guarantee is that the relationship to it and the experience of it will be very different. And that when money needs to be tight, you know, it'll be tight. When it needs to be loose, it'll be loose. And it's going to be whatever it is to support the unfolding of a story, which is the way it is with novels. It's the way it is with movies. It's the way it is in phase one, by the way. It's just that money has a different purpose in phase one. Okay, continuing. Also, can you clear up the apparent contradiction when you said on day four, describing possible reactions? It sounds like we have a choice, but if everything is scripted, why would you talk about possible reactions as if we could do something different? Thank you. Okay, again, pure mind games, mind noise, the mind machine buzzing and worrying and analyzing things to death and overanalyzing things purely at the idea and concept level. In this story, again, there's no contradiction. I see how it can appear that there is one, but only from a particular biased buzzword of a particular mind machine built in a certain way. But to my bias, this is really quite simple. My daughter at the time of this recording is 16 years old, and she's going through driver's ed to learn to get her driver's license. And I don't know that what's happening is exactly what I'm about to say, but my guess is that it's exactly like this. She's only given me limited ideas, but based on what she's given me, that's why I think this is coming through as a metaphor. She's learning how to drive. She's in a course to learn how to drive, and there are written components to it, and there are driving components to it. Do you think it's likely in a driver's education class that the driving instructor, when they're out driving or in the written materials that are being studied or videos or whatever else, would talk about possible dangers and pitfalls and things that can happen when you're out driving? Do you think that's likely? Now, if you and I were talking, I think you'd say yes. You might even remember something from driver's ed, or if you have children and you experience this with a child, you'd say yeah. And if I were to say, okay, why? Why would they tell a kid that's just learning how to drive about some of the things that are possible? Now, just because they tell a kid in a driver's ed class that da-da-da is possible, does that mean it's going to happen to them? Yes or no? No. Does it mean that if it happens to them, they're going to be able to do what it is that they're taught to do as the best thing? No. But it's part of the course. It's part of the learning to talk about the terrain ahead. And then what happens, happens. This is the same thing. This is a course. This is an experience. It's got elements to it. When you say, why did you talk about some of the things that can happen? You could similarly say to me, why did you show a video of da-da-da-da on day two? Why did you share the da-da-da-da? Why did you tell your story? Spend so much time talking about that. It's just all part of how the course was scripted. It goes into the mind machine. All of it can be used as raw material by True Creative Essence. Not can be, is used, let me correct that, as raw material to build, in this case, the Avon story. So the Avon mind machine, and at the story level, the mind machine of everyone that goes through the course, gets the input of these possible things that can happen, and what I share about it, and it goes into the mind machine. And if it goes into the mind machine, it was written for it to go into the mind machine. Whatever impact it has, it has. It can appear to make a difference. And if it does, it's because True Creative Essence wrote it that way. But it's just raw material for stories. My guess is if you study enough novels, if you study enough movies, and generally there isn't time to do a lot of this in a movie or a novel, but if you were to read a novel about a character that was going through a course, was learning something new, a new skill in business school, in law school, or whatever else, this kind of a thing happens. They talk about possible things that can happen down the road. Sometimes, which is different than what happened in the Robert case with Ultimate Freedom, generally there is a specific instruction or a prescription, you know, if you run into this, do that. If you run into this, don't do this. No, do this, you know, and there's a prescription. But you have to understand, the mind machine runs its three questions based on what's in its database. I talked about this, I believe, on day three, maybe day four. Everything that goes into the mind machine is raw material that will then be used to answer the three questions. So, if something happens in a story, and yes, True Creative Essence could write it to happen without this, but once a character has ultimate freedom appearing in their story, it's a different ballgame. So if all the stuff that I said that you're referring to is in the mind machine, and then one of those things happens, and the mind machine says, what is this? First question, da-da-da-da, easy to answer the first question. Second question, what does this mean? When it goes to look at that question, regardless of what happens, which will be shaped by the script and true creative essence, what's in the mind machine is what I said. And so what I said can be considered in that moment and can become part of the decision making and can become part of what then appears as thoughts, feelings, sensations, whatever, to support the story. And so that's it. It's really that simple. It's no big deal. Again, it's no problem. It's just the mind machine doing its thing, noticing apparent contradictions, having objections, looking at things purely idea and concept. When the kinds of things that are possible to experience, not just consider at the idea and concept level, which it seems like is what's happening in the Avon story at this point, when it drops down to experience, when you start to actually experience total immersion reading, Barrett the language, when you start to experience the separation of pure raw experience and story, when you actually start to experience all of these things, when you start to experience some or all of what ultimate freedom is all about, none of this stuff means anything. It's just noise. It's just mind machine noise. Okay, continuing. Again, no problem. Avon, you're not being stupid. You're not an idiot. There's no problem. You don't have a bad mind machine. I'm not jumping on you. Not being critical, not being judgmental. There's no problem here. I'm just narrating what it is that I'm seeing. Okay, continuing. Thank you so much. About the wonderful affirmations, closed eye recordings, is it correct to say that true creative essence is energizing those and they are supportive because they are the truth of true creative essence? Question mark. I'm going to stop there. The most accurate way to language that would say, again, those are there because they're there. True Creative Essence designed these things as part of the course. As the total immersion reader of the Robert story, when this course was being created, and when those affirmations and closed eye recordings were being created, what appeared in inner space as the why of it, and it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's accurate. I believe it is. Bear with the language. But what appeared to me is the whole experience that we're calling the ultimate key to freedom experience is designed to be a series of injections of the truth virus with different contents in each injection, in a sense, you could say, all of which are designed to support the truth virus doing its work and supporting the awakening of ultimate freedom. And so all I was told, so to speak, is those closed eye recordings will be supportive in certain stories to that, because yes, true creative essence using your language will energize those. And what I've been told, I don't know much, I don't get a lot of feedback about this, when I do the live 5-day Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive now, and I ask people, there's sometimes that we're running late and people are kind of fried at the story level, you know, sometimes from what they've been going through. And every now and then what's come out from the Robert character is I'll say to the audience, hey, it's time to do our closed eye for day whatever. Do you all want to do that, or would you rather just, you know, take a break, because you can always do it later. You'll get access to the recordings. And every single time I say that, it's unanimous. No, let's do it. Nobody ever walks out on it. I keep expecting that they will. Buzzword of my mind machine. Somebody will say, I just don't need this, you know, whatever. Everybody seems to love them. Everybody seems to find them very supportive. When there's the opportunity through the online experience to use to listen to them or not, which is different than in the live event, or to listen to them more than once, what I've been told is some people listen to them, some people don't. Some people listen to it once, some people don't. Some people play the subliminal ones in the background, some people don't. They're there as part of the course. Whether they're used or not, whether they have benefit or not, so-called, all of that's determined by true creative essence, but the course is the course. It has various elements, all of them designed to combine to be gigantic truth virus injections. Revealing of the magic trick and truth virus injections, which is what the whole thing's about. And so that's it. But yes, I rambled a bit there, but the answer to your question is it would be correct to say that true creative essence could energize them, and it is a different experience than affirmations that are used as a technique in phase one, which in general doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because very often what happens is there's an affirmation that's some warm and fuzzy, positive, whatever. I'm being general and a little heavy-handed here, but it really is something like this in so many cases, is that the affirmation is spoken, da-da-da-da. The mind machine looks at it, runs its questions, and basically says, oh, bullshit. That's not true. That's not how the world works. You know, and it doesn't change anything in the mind machine. Now, are there people out there in phase one that swear by affirmations and swear by hypnotic techniques and audios that they listen to brain science or whatever, frequencies that are supposed to make the brain more receptive to changes, that affirmation, of course, there's examples for reasons that you know of everything appearing to work because true creative essence, but that's what happens. It isn't true with a capital T what the affirmation is. It's something that in fact isn't true in the actual experience of the person using the affirmations, but it's something they would like to be true. It's something they'd like to experience. And so very often what happens is, again, buzzword bullshit. That's not true. And it doesn't go anywhere. And if it appears to, then true creative essence shaped itself into that. It is a different thing when what is being told is the truth with a capital T. It is different. But there can be the truth with a capital T in phase one, and somebody could repeat it over and over and over and over, and it still wouldn't make any difference. So just the fact that it's true isn't enough, but it's different than the use of affirmations, quote unquote, in phase one. But yes, on this path, if listening to those soundtracks with those particular statements, affirmations of truth with a capital T, whatever you want to call it, do have impact, are supportive, it's because, yes, true creative essence wrote it to be that way. But that's true about everything, not just the soundtrack. So, okay. Continuing, does it matter if our character uses affirmations like God is all there is, or God creates out of a desire to express love? Or what about all thought is creative and how we choose to think creates our personal experience? I'm going to stop there. Here, Avon, I have to tell you, I have a bias. And that is for the Robert character, when I heard stuff like that, it was like nice sounding gobbledygook. You know? If I tried to repeat or when I would read God is all there is, it didn't do me any good. You know? I was struggling with so many things. I was in so much pain. My life wasn't working, and I was trying to create a successful business, and I was trying to have relationships that worked. And so being told or repeating God is all there is, it didn't do me any good. It was, and then a lot of these things to me were pretty sounding words that didn't mean anything, whether they did me any good or not. They just didn't mean anything. Like God creates out of a desire to express love. I would look at that and I would say, what the hell does that mean? And it didn't mean anything to me. It didn't have any practical anything. It was just pretty sounding words. I'm telling you, this is my bias. For you listening to this, you may have a completely different thing. All thought is creative, and how we choose to think creates our personal experience. I know that that's rampant out there in metaphysics and in a lot of other stuff. And as you've heard me say, it's in there in the 4 days that you just went through. If you look, my bias, it's not true. What creates our personal experience is true creative essence shaping itself into our personal experience. And if you remember when I was doing the myth busting, I addressed this exactly. So if you were to use an affirmation like that now, if you used an affirmation like that in phase one before coming to this course, did it work? It doesn't work for most people, and if it appears to, it's because true creative essence shaped itself into that. But in general, if you look and you're brutally honest, my bias, that is not a truthful statement. Unless you define thought, when you say all thought is creative, If you define thought as true creative essence, as the thinker that thoughts are true creative essences, thoughts, so to speak, what it wrote in our language, then that's true. But, and again, you say how we choose to think at the experiential level, you have the opportunity through ultimate freedom to see the truth, not a theory, not a concept, not an idea, but the truth that you do not choose to think anything. Thought happens. It appears as it appears. It does what it does. It stays as long as it stays. It leaves when it leaves. It comes back or it doesn't. So anyway, I addressed all of this in the course. I'm not going to go into more of that here, but it's just not true. My bias. Continuing, that's what I grew up with. I understand that's what the mind machine was programmed with. Doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's accurate. And again, I have to take you back to what I said at the beginning of day one of the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience, which is in our time together, we are going to focus only on what we can actually experience, see in our own experience, not ideas, concepts, theories, or philosophies. So there's the opportunity here to look at your actual experience, what's actually appearing in inner space more often than not, and see what's actually happening. Okay, continuing. Can true creative essence energize that thought and make it appear real? Or is it just real anyway? Well, I don't really understand what you mean there, Avon, but... And to me, there's stuff that was already addressed in the course here that somehow, at this moment, the Avon machine missed. And it could be that you went through these videos really quickly. They were all being skimmed through at the idea and concept level, but all of this is addressed. In terms of on the video that I showed of true creative essence shaping itself into everything that appears, everything being scripted in advance. So, and again, I'll just clarify for you, to me, real is anything related to, words can be difficult here and it can appear like I'm being confusing or contradictory and there's no way around that. But to me, real is true creative essence. And it's pure raw state, let's call it, as the creator of everything. Anything that appears in the human experience, anything that true creative essence shapes itself into, that we can become aware of as people, thoughts, feelings, sensations, bodies, anything in story space is not real. It's an illusion. It's a story. Now, logically, somebody could argue with me about that and say, well, if true creative essence is real and it's shaping itself into da-da-da-da, then da-da-da-da is real too. My bias is on the road to ultimate freedom awakening, truth with a capital T, being experienced with a capital E, it's useful. Technically, yes, everything's real, but it's useful to split things into real and illusion because it's useful because of the way the cloud cover was built in phase one. But technically, yes, if true creative essence is real and it shapes itself into da-da-da-da, then da-da-da-da by definition must be real too. That's true. But in phase one, we believed everything was real and we believed we were real and we believed all the stuff that's in the cloud cover. And so it's useful, my bias. It's been a big part of the way the Robert character has been created to teach, to split stuff into true with a capital T, real with a capital R, and illusion. So true creative essence can shape itself into anything appearing to be real, and it does, to support the unfolding of unique stories. And I'm not going to go into any more detail on this because there's already a lot of this in the course that for whatever reason, there doesn't seem to be awareness of at this moment. And again, my guess is you just went through the videos, boom, 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 really fast, skimming along the idea and concept level of it. And so this is part of why that's happening. I could be wrong. Continuing. More directly, what's the difference between a thought appearing in inner space and stating the truth about true creative essence and true creative essence? I'm sorry, Avon, I don't understand the question, but to me, it's mind machine noise and it's convoluted and it's over complicating and analyzing stuff, and it's a mind game. There isn't any real value in that. It's just overanalyzing and overcomplicating something that's really simple. In my old language, or my character would say, I am in alignment. Is that a story? Yes, that's a story. There isn't anything that can ever be out of alignment. Everything is true creative essence. True creative essence, just like if you go back to the example, J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter stories, and everything that happens in the stories, there's only J.K. Rowling. If Harry Potter says something, does something, thinks something, feels something, if any character says something, does something, thinks something, feels something, if there's a building or there's a dragon or there's a flying car, there's a whatever, no matter what appears in the story, it's all J.K. Rowling expressing her essence, her consciousness, her beingness, whatever, in that shape and form. And it's the same thing, but again, there's a lot of this in the story. So my invitation to you would be, at some point, Avon, go back through the course. And if this happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. When it happens, if it happens, it doesn't matter. I would invite you to go back through the course. You might also want to download this archive of all the Q&As and go through it as if it was another course. There is some repetition, and the mind machine may want to skip stuff or speed through stuff because it'll say, I already understand that. I already heard Robert. This isn't about understanding. This isn't about memorizing. This isn't about answering questions. This is about the opportunity to actually experience the truth. And what's here is a guided tour, a guided opportunity to actually experience the truth and ultimate freedom awakening as part of that, you could say. So, yes, I am in alignment is a story. And in that story is I, Avon, am a separate individual and character. And I, as this separate individual and character, can be in alignment with something or not. I can be in alignment with my mission and purpose or not. I can be in alignment with God or not. I can be in alignment. Can Harry Potter ever be out of alignment with J.K. Rowling? Can Harry Potter ever be anything but in alignment with J.K. Rowling? Same thing with any author and any character and any story. If you read fiction, this will be a more powerful metaphor for you. I'll close here. And again, I welcome an ongoing dialogue, Avon, as well as anybody else listening to this. The key here, and I said this during the videos, I've said it in the archives, I'm sure I'll say it again, it's very, very important, which is, as long as things remain at the idea and concept level, and the mind machine is running its three questions, and it's running things at the idea and concept level based on the content of its database and the way that it's built to run, there will be endless objections, endless questions, endless doubts, endless apparent contradictions, endless confusion, going back to what Sherry said, if things stay at the idea and concept level. When they drop down to experience, when the truth with a capital T is actually experienced with a capital E, and sometimes experiencing one aspect of the truth with a capital T once is enough and everything changes, and sometimes it has to be experienced with a capital E repeatedly in the way the story unfolds. And once it's experienced with a capital E, all the mind machine noise and swirl, all the doubts, all the questions, all the analysis, everything else stops. And it stops because true creative essence shapes itself into its stopping, but it also stops because there's no need to run the three questions on it anymore. It is what it is. There's a direct experience of what's going on. The total immersion reader is awake. The mind machine doesn't need to be doing what it used to do. It isn't necessary anymore. So, as a result of the truth virus and a result of true creative essence changing the game, these kinds of things just drop away. There isn't the confusion. There isn't the questioning. There isn't the analysis. There isn't the, well, this was said and now this is said and how do they fit together? And how do I resolve apparent contradictions or collisions or disagreements between this and that? When it's at the idea and concept level, again, that's endless. I have intimate experience with this, Avon. Endless. There's no way out of that, so to speak, except experiencing the truth. And that's what there's the opportunity to do here. And so on that note, I'll close this. Again, Avon, my suggestion would be, listen to this, which if you're listening to this, you are, that let it sit. Listen to it again. Let it sit. At some point, there is going to be the opportunity. If ultimate freedom has been written to awaken in your story, the odds are it's going to involve you going back and going through the videos again, but this time in a very different way. Not what I am assuming to be, but I could be wrong. Rush, fast, skimming along at the idea and concept level only, evaluating everything at the idea and concept level only, but that when you go through it again, there will be the opportunity in the way that it flows to actually experience bit by bit, verify bit by bit each of the pieces, and then you'll notice that the experience is completely different. Okay, here we go with the next one. This is from Jenny. Thanks for answering my question about making decisions and walking through the Jenny character reading her story. Part two of this question is that part of me doesn't want to relinquish control about making decisions or being the writer of my story. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And Jenny, if you remember, there was an image of a woman who was kind of closing her eyes and holding her ears and screaming like you're driving me crazy kind of a thing. What I'm going to say here is probably going to be perceived that way. Something like that is going to appear. But the truth is the truth. Reactions are reactions. Where it goes, it goes. There is no part of you, Jenny, that can anything. Those are phase one stories about what's going on, what's actually going on. The pure raw experience is thoughts are appearing in inner space, however they're appearing. Odds are it's a voice, but it could be something else. Accompanied by feelings and sensations, which you'll probably get to when I continue the question. But there's something that's appearing in inner space that's communicating the message. A part of me doesn't want to relinquish control. I don't like not being in control, there's a voice saying. I don't like the idea that I'm not driving the bus of my life. Something is appearing in inner space that's communicating that information. Again, could be video, could be a voice, could be a thought ball, whatever it is. That's what's happening. And true creative essence, total immersion reading the Jenny story, which is who you really are, is aware of that appearing in inner space. That's the truth of what's going on. That's the pure raw experience. Thoughts are appearing in inner space, communicating a message, and the message is, I don't like this idea. So that's the first thing I want to say. That's all that's happening. The rest is story. It's Jenny that doesn't want to give up control. It's a part of me that doesn't want to give up control. Blah, blah, blah. That's the story. It gets bonded and boom, Jenny doesn't like this. Jenny's uncomfortable with this. Blah, blah, blah. The next piece of this is, the first part is, there isn't any part of you that could anything, as I just said. The second part of this is, doesn't want to relinquish control. Jenny? You never had control. This is not some spiritual teaching, like many spiritual teachings that are out there that say you must let go of da-da-da-da, you must surrender to da-da-da-da. This is not like I don't know that much about what's taught in Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff, but there's something about giving up control and power to a higher power. This is not what this is. In there is Jenny's real, Jenny has power, Jenny has control, and as part of this particular teaching or system or technique or religion or whatever, You must give that up. That's not what this is. You never had it. What you're acknowledging here is that you never had it, and that you don't have it now, and that who you really are is the total immersion reader, and that there is the opportunity to total immersion read everything that's happening, and all of the quote-unquote benefits that come from that. And it's not just that. It's not, again, what you've brought up. You did at the event, and you have, I believe, in some of the other questions. This is not a theory. This is not a philosophy. This is not an idea or a concept. If you look at what actually happens, anytime a decision is made, anytime whatever is happening, what you see is, I talked about this a lot, as long as it's, as I said to Avon, as long as it remains at the idea and concept level, there will be endless objections, endless questions, endless judgments, dislike, don't like, whatever possibilities. When it's experienced, all that stuff disappears. My bias is, when you experience the truth of what's actually going on, you are not in control. There isn't any individual who could be in control. True creative essence is in control. True creative essence is making the decisions. Decisions are being made. And you, quote unquote, which is true creative essence, total immersion reading the Jenny story, becomes aware of the decisions. And it's the same thing. You'll say, yeah, Robert, I've heard you say this a million times, including last week. Well, it's the truth. It's no different than when you read a novel and a character appears to make a decision, appears to have control, appears to have free will. Yes, appears to. But truth is, if Harry Potter makes a decision, did Harry Potter make a decision? No. J.K. Rowling's consciousness or essence shapes itself into Harry making the decision. It's J.K. Rowling, her consciousness, her essence. Now, as long as this, again, is thought about, analyzed, looked at logically, looked at as an idea and a concept based on what is in the Jenny mind machine, it's never going to be agreed with at that level. It's never going to be liked, ever. When it's experienced, everything changes, and that's the opportunity. Hasn't been experienced yet, or hasn't been experienced enough. It's been experienced a few times. My bias is there was experience of these truths when you were here during the 5 days, but those experiences, bear with the language here, it's not accurate, were not strong enough or dominant enough in the way that the story is unfolding, in how true creative essence has shaped itself into the Jenny story, to outweigh, so to speak, blow away, so to speak, all the stuff that's been programmed into the mind machine. It could have, but part of the Jenny story, part of the unfolding of the Jenny story, part of the how to get from point A to point B being ultimate freedom, fully awake, experiencing with a capital E, the truth with a capital T, is kind of like Jenny going through all this stuff that she used to think was true. The law of attraction stuff, the I'm making the decision stuff, all the other things that you've been certified for and that you believe and that you're skilled with and that have been the secrets of your success, all this stuff, going through all of that, and slowly but surely, without defining what that means, exchanging those lies, illusions, and stories for truth. Okay, continuing. There is fear and hesitation about not liking the story that is written. Just going to stop there. Okay, no, there is no fear. There is movement of energy in inner space that has unique characteristics. Not fear, not good, not bad, not pleasant, not unpleasant. There's just movements of energy with a story that says fear, a habitual story. And there's the opportunity to experience that too at some point, and hesitation about not liking the story that's written. I get that. And what that is, like I said to Avon, like I said to Sherry and other people, the mind machine is looking at what it discovered. It's buzzing and worrying. There's massive collisions with what's in the database of the Jenny mind machine. About being in control, about being a good decision maker, about being a doer, about whatever, about law of attraction, about whatever it is. There's massive collisions taking place at the idea and concept level as the truth virus is beginning its work. I get that. Doesn't mean anything. What's actually happening is you're the reader of the Jenny story. You're on page 256, the mythical, legendary page 256. And you're reading, Jenny woke up in the morning and felt afraid. 2 weeks had passed since she attended the Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive. And the idea that she wasn't in control, the idea that she's not the one making stuff happen, that she can't make decisions, scared the shit out of her. She didn't know what to do with that. And you're reading this. And so as the reader, you say, okay, Jenny's scared to death right now. She doesn't know what to do with this thing that she just discovered. You're not thinking about that, but that's what's happening. You keep turning the pages, curious to see what's going to happen with Jenny as a result of this crazy Ultimate Key to Freedom intensive, and where's she going to go with all of this, and how's it going to resolve, and blah, blah, blah. So you keep turning the pages. Right now in the story, this is what's up. There's massive collision between what was in the Jenny database and what was introduced newly into the database as a result of Ultimate Key to Freedom Intensive. And as the story is unfolding, this is what's being read right now, is seeing these collisions. And if you go back to what I talked about as the stages, this was on day three, I believe, in the afternoon, maybe, when I talked about the stages of the truth virus, you know. This is the destabilization of the mind machine and all the things that can come with that. The other thing that I'll add here, and maybe this will be supportive or interesting, maybe not for you, Jenny, or other people. When you go back to my story that I told about what happened in the Robert story that led to the awakening of ultimate freedom, did True Creative Essence just walk up to me one day and say, hey, bud, Robert, guess what? You're not in control. You're not the one making decisions. It's me. And you're me. And I, you know, and True Creative Essence said that to me, and I just accepted that and went on to the races living in ultimate freedom. Is that what happened with me? No. There was all kinds of trauma. There was all kinds of confusion. There was all kinds of Robert still trying to be the doer and still trying to change things and being pissed off with True Creative Essence for doing this shit to me and all that. It was kicking and screaming, so to speak, that the Robert character, bear with the language, was taken into Ultimate Freedom Awakening. Now, it's true that the Robert mind machine was built a little bit differently in some ways than Jenny, and there was the busting loose material that was the first injections of the truth virus, and before these things that are part of Ultimate Freedom became aware, Robert was in a slightly different place. There were some differences, but if you could know who the Robert character was before discovering the busting loose and using the tools for all those years and then going through what I narrated in Ultimate Freedom Awakening, I wasn't all that different, if different at all, from you. And I went through the same kinds of stuff. There were the same kinds of massive collisions. And even when I knew something was the truth, I still was struggling against it and struggling to want to, well, okay, fine, big fucking deal. I still want da-da-da-da in my life. I've still had enough of this shit and I want it to stop. I don't care if it's a story, you know? And there was massive resistance to a lot of the stuff, and other things that you're having some resistance to in your story, there wasn't. I mean, we were just different. But I totally get where you're coming from, and I went through so much of it in my own way. But again, look at it this way. It's a crutch, it's an idea, and it's a concept, only useful as a crutch until the truth virus does its work and things drop down to experience. Imagine that, and you've heard me say this before, imagine that the Jenny story is 55,000 pages. And imagine that you are on page, I'm making up a number, I'm not implying when you're going to die, Jenny, or anything else. Imagine that you're on page 46,000, 45,000, and this is what's happening. Well, There's another 20,000 pages. This story's going to unfold. This is going to go somewhere. It's going to change. Jenny is not going to be stuck in this no man's land, no woman's land, confusing place where I'm being told this and I don't like that. You're not going to be stuck here for the rest of your life in this crazy whatever. It's a stage. You know, again, if you go back to Michael Haig talking about the stages of a story, there is a stage when all hell is breaking loose and the hero's in deep shit and his or her plan's out the window and they don't know what they're going to do and they feel totally lost. And if you just took a snapshot of the story at that point, all is lost. It's terrible. Bad things are happening. But the story continues and things move and things change and things happen. And so this is a snapshot of where things are at the moment as the truth virus is doing its work. When I say it's no big deal, I don't mean to minimize how it appears. I don't mean, and I'm not giving you anything of, you know, you shouldn't feel what you feel. It's wrong that you're feeling what you're, you know, none of that. I totally get it. I've been there. It's great. It's part of the story. It's having thoughts, feelings, and sensations. That's what the whole game's about. That's what the whole story's about. But I'm just shining the light of truth on it. Okay, I'm continuing. I understand reading or watching the movie from that perspective, but I like anticipating. I like having desires. I'm going to stop there. No one has said anything here about anticipation going away or being bad. Nothing has gone away here. Nothing has been said. In fact, the opposite was said. Desires don't go away. What does Michael Haig say about the content, you know, what drives a story? A hero's got a desire. There's an outcome. Now, I did say that Robert doesn't operate on goals. I did not say Robert has no desires at all. I did say change, fix, and improve. Desires can continue with ultimate freedom fully awake, but they're being total immersion read, so it's a different thing. No one has said, Jenny, you have to stop having desires. Wouldn't matter anyway. There's no Jenny that could stop anything. But nothing was said in the teachings, this is mind machine noise, that you should stop anticipating. In fact, what did we say happens with the total immersion reader of a story or the reader of a story at the story level? You want to know what's going to happen next. You're curious. If it's a great story, you can't wait to see what happens next. That doesn't go away. Having desires doesn't go away. This is just mind machine buzzword distorted nonsense. I'm not being critical of you, Jenny, as a person. I'm just narrating what's happening here. It's highly distorted buzzword of the mind machine that's been severely destabilized by what it experienced. Continuing. I like feeling that I can move my story in the direction that I want. Okay. That too, Jenny, is an appearance. That's a voice that says, I like feeling that I can move my story in the direction that I want. If you remember the clip that I showed at the beginning of Morpheus and Neo, and Morpheus says to Neo something, and Neo says, he asks him a question, I don't remember, it's funny, I've seen that so many times, but at the moment I can't remember it, but Neo says, I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my own life, and Morpheus says, I know exactly what you mean. That's Neo, who's a character in a story, saying, I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life. You are true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Jenny story, aware of a character in inner space, a voice in inner space, whatever it is, saying, I like feeling that I can move my... That's all it is. It doesn't mean anything. There isn't any Jenny that can like anything. And this, again, is just dealing with the collision, the destabilization of the mind machine, the massive collision between what the mind machine used to believe about how life worked and what Jenny's life was like, what was the secret of her successes, what's really going on, all the things you've been taught, certified for, everything else. It's just an appearance in inner space that's being total immersion read. No different than if you're reading a novel and on page 350, you read, Jenny was really struggling with this stuff that she discovered at the Ultimate Key to Freedom Intensive. And she was sitting in the kitchen making her morning coffee, thinking about her day, thinking about all of the decisions that she was going to need to make that day, thinking about how good it used to feel, how good it always felt to her when she made something happen and she created a positive result and she achieved a goal. And she thought to herself, shit, I'm not doing it. I didn't do it. I'm going to play poke with some fun here because this is what's really going on here. Oh, God. Instead of being Jenny, and I'm not being disrespectful here, I'm hammering on a point to make a point. Oh, God damn it. I'm not this little puny human Jenny character. Who I really am is the most powerful force in the universe shaping itself into this amazing story, and I get to total immersion read it. God damn it. I want to be this little character. I don't want to be the most powerful force in the universe. That's bad. I want to be this little puny human. Again, I'm hammering on that. I'm being overly aggressive, but there's something like that going on here. It's kind of funny to me. I know it's not to you in the way that it appeared. But that's all it is. It's the same thing. It's a snapshot, postcards from the road. What's happening right now as the truth virus is doing its work, as the drops from the 5 days are rippling through, and as this massive amount of programming and data and algorithms and programs in the Jenny mind machine are being worked through by the truth virus and resistance from it, because no, this is the way it is. This is how it is. Jenny's a doer. Jenny's smart. Jenny's competent. Give Jenny the task. She'll get it done. You know? And that's being pushed on. Fine. Makes sense. I get it. I know it appears to be uncomfortable. It's not, but I know it appears to be. It's no different than if you're reading about a character that appears to be uncomfortable in a novel or watching it in a movie. And again, as you said, I understand reading or watching the movie, but understanding doesn't do you any good, as I talked about on day one. Experiencing with a capital E, the truth with capital T, is the only thing that makes any difference. And the odds are you are on the road, however long it takes, whatever it looks like, however many frustrating quote-unquote moments there are like this. The opportunity here is for you to actually have the experience that will ultimately resolve all of this and open the door for a radically different way of experiencing everything, not thinking about everything, not understanding everything, but actually experiencing everything. Okay, continuing. This is from Sherry, who has gone through all of the UKF videos twice. A few weeks ago, True Creative Essence shaped Robert to respond to Sherry's shares with these questions. What is actually appearing that she calls a phase one perspective, and what appears that she calls the perspective of the reader? The phase one perspective, quote unquote, shows up as thought energy balls appearing in inner space that ask, what actions will produce a desired outcome X? In outer space, those actions usually follow. When the action appears to produce the desired result, the character's mouth often turns upward, and she feels an energy she would describe as buoyant. When the action doesn't produce the desired result, inner space responds with a movement of energy that the character would describe as heavy. This is often judged as undesirable. Okay, let me stop there, and I may be jumping the gun because you may address this in a minute, Sherry, but let me ask you something. If you are reading a story about a character, and you're in the novel and you're turning the pages of the novel, as you're the reader of the story, can you read about a character that is asking itself, however it takes place on the page, what actions will produce a desired result? Can you read about that in a novel? Can you see that in a movie? The answer to the question is yes. You go on to say, okay, well, if the character chooses actions to produce a particular result and it happens, the character appears to feel good, buoyant. If the action doesn't produce the result, the character feels heavy, not good. Does that happen when you're reading a novel or when you're watching a movie with a character? Yes or no? Yes. You're reading the story. When you're reading the story, it doesn't matter what happens. Being the reader is not about the content. Being the reader is about being the reader. This is the confusion. This is what's happening with the mind machine. The mind machine has a definition of phase one perspective that's inaccurate. And the definition is probably something like the phase one perspective likes and dislikes. The phase one perspective wants certain things. And that's not true. And it's not in the teachings, and it isn't what I said on day four about what happens on the journey to ultimate freedom awakening and after it awakens. This is all mind machine logical buzzword distorted noise. And that's at the core of the problem here. This is not the phase one perspective. This is just a very accurate, accurately described appearance in the story, but that's all it is. And exactly that is being read and has always been being read. So this isn't the phase one perspective. This is a reading of a Sherry story in which certain things happen. Okay, continuing. Quote unquote, the perspective of the reader shows up, in inner space as a distance or separation between the character and the event. Thought energy balls appear that have the character Sherry realize that the other characters and the event are all being shaped by true creative essence. Sometimes these are followed by a neutral curiosity of what true creative essence might create next and what through line is being supported by this story. At other times, the realization that true creative essence is creating the events is followed by a thought energy ball that says, this story sucks. There aren't enough fun, energizing events to have me want to stay in this vantage point. I prefer exiting. Okay, here's the thing, Sherry. This is not the perspective of the reader. Both of these are perspectives of the reader reading different things appearing in the story. It's still the reader. It's still true creative essence as shaping itself into this Sherry really being true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Sherry story. And in what you're calling the phase one perspective, there's reading of certain things appearing. And in what you're calling the perspective of the reader, there's different things appearing. But there's a mind machine distortion here that's defining these things inaccurately as two different perspectives when they're not, and then getting caught up in it. It's just buzzword, distorted, inaccurate, faulty conclusions, if you will, not being critical of Sherry or the Sherry mind machine. This is the way the mind machine works. This is very similar to what I just shared with Jenny. These are collisions in a sense. Destabilization of the mind machine outputs, the mind machine trying to understand things, trying to reconcile things, and applying inaccurate, distorted labels to what's going on. Do you think that there were many, many times in what I narrated as my story where what appeared in inner space is this story sucks? Yes or no? If you and I were talking right now, you would say, sure. I never use the actual language, there aren't enough fun, energizing events to have me want. I wasn't that polite. But, you know, in what Michael Haig narrated as the stages of a story, do you think that in those stages, all characters have many, many, many moments in certain stages where they say this story sucks? I don't like this. I don't want to continue. Of course. It's part of the story. Turn the page. So the most important thing that I can share with you here, and it's very similar in a different way to what I just shared with a lot more detail with Jenny, is the Ultimate Freedom teachings were introduced into the Sherry story, into the Sherry mind machine. The truth virus is doing its work. A journey is unfolding that is by no means complete. This is Postcards from the Road. This is a status update of what's going on right now. And what's going on right now is that the mind machine has buzzed in word and come up with a phase one perspective definition, a perspective of the reader definition. It's running with those, and it's distortions of what's actually happening, which is that everything is being read. Everything is the perspective of the reader, but the content can change. And beyond this, lack of a better term, you're on page whatever of your story. The story's not complete. It's going to continue to unfold. If I was using, you know, judgmental, distorted phase one language, I would say, just like when you're reading a novel or a movie and you're feeling squeamish, you're feeling really uncomfortable because the hero's in really deep shit, you're going to have to keep turning the pages to see what happens. You're going to have to keep letting the minutes of the movie unfold. You have to wait and see. Wait for the story to unfold. Not that you, Sherry, or anyone else listening is an individual that can choose to wait or turn the pages or not, but that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. The story is going to keep unfolding, and we'll see where it goes. Okay, let's see what's next. This is from Nanami. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'm sorry if I didn't. Nanami has finished all of the videos. Hi, Robert. Thanks for all the videos. It really has helped me. Though there is one subject I would like some clarification on. In one of the videos, you were talking about parallel universes and how more than one option can be carried out if true creative essence wanted to. So does this mean that we have the power to choose an alternative outcome, thereby proving we do have free will? Thanks for your help. Hope you have a great day. Okay, again, this is a great example of the mind machine at work. It observed the commentary about parallel universes. It buzzes and whirs, and still wanting, so to speak, to really have power and free will. It's hoping that perhaps there's still some hope for power and free will from this parallel universe story, and so it pops out this question. To me, my bias could be wrong. Heavily biased by a desire in the mind machine based on its programming to still have free will. You may say, Nanami, that you're just curious, and that may be true from a certain perspective. My bias is underneath this, is within the mind machine a desire to have power and free will, which maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not. The answer to the question is no. True creative essence shapes itself into what it shapes itself into in order to play with, explore, and express itself creatively the way it wants to. If it is interested in exploring different options within the storyline, so to speak, of a particular character and the raw material of a character, then it will, lack of a better term, my bias, split itself off, create a parallel universe, and explore the different option for that character. In that case, true creative essence is experiencing the different options for the Nanami character, let's just call it that. But you are total immersion reading one story. You are a window into one version of Nanami. And even though at any given moment there's a million different options and there could be a million different Nanamis running around, you're aware of one story. An equivalent of this, and it's not a perfect metaphor, but just to bring something a little bit more practical, imagine that J.K. Rowling wrote the 7 books of Harry Potter, and they were out there. Actually, let's say that J.K. Rowling wrote one book, and one book was the whole story of Harry Potter. And then J.K. Rowling, and there's actually some stuff that's happened like this, not exactly like this, but kind of like this. There's been some multimedia things that have been out in the universe that I'm aware of recently where there's a story and different endings have been written and different endings have been, and the reader actually gets to choose. And it, you know, the author wrote different things and then lets you choose kind of a thing. And it's interesting, but what I'm pointing at here is imagine that J.K. Rowling wrote the one book with the whole Harry Potter story. And we'll call this book Harry Potter Option 1. And then imagine that J.K. Rowling said, you know what? A lot of different things could have happened with Harry, and I think it might be cool if I wrote another book where Harry made different choices. And so she writes book two, where Harry made all kinds of different choices, and therefore the story unfolded differently. And then imagine that J.K. Rowling said, wow, that was cool. And she wrote another 200 books, the same basic stuff, but what would happen if Harry made different choices? So now there's 202 books. And imagine that you went into the bookstore and you bought Harry Potter book 201, and you read that story. As you're reading it, there are the other 200 and whatever books. There are all these other books that were written, all these other stories where Harry did different things, but you bought the one book. You're turning the pages of the one story. You're the reader of the one story, and you're aware of the decisions that were written, what was made, decisions that were made, the story that was written for that one Harry. That's the kind of a thing that we're talking about. True creative essence could be aware of a zillion different Nanamis that made different choices, but everything that I shared in the course is still true. True creative essence is making the decisions. True creative essence has the power. True creative essence has the free will. Nanami does not. Robert does not. Sherry does not. Jenny does not. Avon does not. And there isn't any free will except the illusion of it. And the story is the story. So the fact that there are parallel universes doesn't affect your story at all, unless true creative essence shapes itself into some metaphysical whatever kind of a thing. I am aware of stories like that, you know, in some sort of a science fiction or fantasy story or whatever. I think it's actually happened, not in a science fiction or fantasy story, but a character's life where a parallel version of them, a future version of them, whatever, came back and talked to them about da-da-da-da. But in general, that doesn't happen. So, and even if that happens, it's still just true creative essence shaping itself into what happens. And who Nanami is the total immersion reader of one story about Nanami in which the story unfolds in a particular way. Okay, let's see what's next here. This next one, also from Sherry. Another question that true creative essence asked through the Robert character is, how are emotions being perceived? For this character, the vast majority of the time, true creative essence shapes the perception as neutral. Most of the emotions that true creative essence slash this character would have formally labeled negative have lost their sting. Okay, taking your language literally there. Most of the emotions that this character would have formally labeled negative. That means emotions are still being experienced. There is awareness of energy moving in inner space. It's not that they've disappeared. They're still appearing in the way that you're narrating this. But when you say they've lost their sting, what that means is the negative story has been detached. It doesn't mean inner space has gone quiet from emotions. It doesn't mean, quote-unquote, negative emotions have disappeared. It means there's still an awareness of movements of energy that you would have once called negative, except they don't feel negative anymore. Now, I got to stop here and say, that's gigantic. That's a miracle. Bear with the language. That's something that would be considered impossible for most people in phase one. Definitely seemed so for the Robert character. This is saying, being said very matter of fact here, but that's gigantic that that's happening. That's a huge breakthrough. I mean, that's amazing. anyway, I just want to say that. And that's what you're saying. Lost their sting means the story, the negative stories disappeared. The label, you put negative in quotes, so the story and the label and the judgment have disappeared. Okay, good. But that's what lost their sting means. You're still aware of the movements of energy, but the story and the name and the judgment have disappeared. That's being in a truthful relationship with emotions on the negative side, so to speak. Continuing, in a similar way, Emotions, the true creative essence this character would have formerly labeled positive, have lost their peaks. Instead, perception is more focused on the actual events than on the waves of energy formerly called emotions. Okay, I'm going to push on that, Sherry, and I could be wrong, and Mind Machine may buzz and whir and come out with an argument, but I don't think that's accurate. What you're saying is, emotions that were formerly called positive have lost their peaks. Now, what that means is, if we're looking at what was actually appearing, and the appearances of emotions had certain characteristics, big, zoomed, magnetic pole, vortex, whatever. What you're basically saying there is the positive emotions, so-called, are still there. They don't seem to be as big. You're not saying they've disappeared. You're saying I'm still aware of them. They don't seem to be as big. They don't seem to be as dramatic, whatever. That's what you're saying. I'm still aware of emotions, of energy moving in inner space. I'm not experiencing them as positive anymore. I'm just experiencing them as movements of energy. That's what it sounds like you're saying, but they don't appear to be as big. Then you come back and say, perception is more focused on the events than on the waves of energy, and that's just not true. If you had said, here's how emotions are being perceived by me, Robert. I'm really not paying much attention to them. I'm really more focused in on the actual events. But what you said is, I'm paraphrasing, but what you said is, I'm aware of ones that I used to call negative, but they don't seem negative anymore. I'm aware of the positive ones, but they don't seem to be as big. And now you're saying, well, I'm not really aware of them much at all. Now, I realize you could argue because you could say, well, Robert, I said more focused. No, it's not true. It's all being focused on. When you're reading a great novel, when you're watching a great movie, what you just narrated is exactly what happens. You are more focused on what's actually happening on the screen, happening on the page, what the people are saying, all these things that are happening in general. But at the same time, you're hyper aware of emotions. But it just seems different when you're the reader. It seems like it's different, but it's not. In general, there can be exceptions. You heard me say this in the videos. When you're reading a great novel, same thing is true of a movie or a TV show or a ride or whatever else, but I'm just going to talk about reading again now. When you're reading a great novel, you don't stop and say, I'm feeling angry right now, I'm feeling sad right now, I'm feeling happy right now, I'm feeling relieved right now, I'm feeling frustrated right now. You just feel. And the feelings are there, and you're very aware of them, as at the same time as you are totally aware of what's happening in the story, in story space, in what you're calling the actual events, then on the waves of energy. You're aware of all of it. Simultaneously, just like you always have been. Again, you could tell me I'm wrong, but my bias, what I'm seeing is this isn't really that different than the way it used to be, except it's hugely different because you're not seeing positive negative anymore. You're in a truthful, with a capital T, or more truthful relationship with what's actually happening. They're still there. You're still just as aware of them as you were before, but because the negatives have lost their sting and the positives appear to have lost their peaks, the experience of emotions appears to be different, and so you think that you're more focused on the actual events, but you're not really. You've always been focused on the actual events. You've always been aware of the emotions, just like you are reading, watching a movie, except now it's different. And the mind machine is buzzing and whirring and coming up with this story that I'm more focused on events. And anyway, this is what I feel moved to share about that. There's a slight distortion in that to my bias. It's no different than what happens when you're reading or watching a movie, and it's no different than it was before, except you're in a truthful, with a capital T, or a more truthful relationship with emotions in general. Okay, the question continues. Sometimes tears flow with no direct story attached. The energy of these tears is what would have once been labeled as more resigned than either joyous or sad. Okay, I got to stop there, Sherry, again. Sometimes tears flow with no direct story attached. Now you say the energy of these tears is what would have once been labeled as more resigned than either joyous or sad. Well, that's a story, so I'm confused. Are you saying that sometimes tears flow with no story and sometimes tears flow with a story? Again, the mind machine is capable of all kinds of crazy contradictions in these kinds of things when the truth virus is doing its work. So I'm sorry, but that doesn't make sense to me. So I'm not quite sure what else to say about that. Resigned is a story. Joyous is a story. Sad is a story. And you started out with saying no story. So, okay, I'm going to continue. Sometimes true creative essence slash this character wonders if her story will always have an inner space that could be labeled as more neutral in its emotional waves of energy, or if it will create the emotional experience of the Robert character, neutral and quote-unquote positive. Okay, Sherry, this is something similar to something that I've said earlier on here. This is a mind machine distortion with definitions that are not accurate and don't make sense. But first, let me clarify something. In phase one, there is a movement of emotional energy. It's a pure raw experience. It's not negative. It's not positive. It's just a movement of energy with unique characteristics. Then a name and a judgment get attached to it. Anger, bad, happy, good. And they get bonded and fused, as you know. And then we're off to the races with negative and positive emotions, the battle with the negative, the seeking for more positive, and the failing at that seeking in general. When pure raw experience separates from stories, and there is an awareness of just the movement of energy with its unique characteristics, if you're going to call that movement of energy without a story something, there are two options. If you want to be purely non-judgmental, I'll call it that, then you could call it neutral. It doesn't mean it's neutral. It doesn't mean you don't enjoy it. It doesn't mean they're not all pleasurable. Neutral is just a word to describe pure raw experience of emotion without positive negative stories. I also said you could also call it positive if you want. It doesn't matter. Positive's a judgment. But there's no problem with calling it positive because that's how it's perceived. When you're watching a movie, when you're reading a novel, as you've heard me say, you experience all kinds of emotions. At the end of the movie, at the end of the novel, at the end of a reading session, if the book's longer and it takes you days or weeks to finish it, at the end of a session that had a lot of emotions, the overall feeling is, wow, this is an amazing story. And what that means is, primary what that means, there's other components to it, thoughts and other things, but the primary thing when we say, wow, that was a great movie, wow, this is a great story, wow, that was a great book, what we're saying is, I got to feel an awful lot without any stories or judgments about the feelings. So you can choose either label. They aren't two different experiences. Again, this is not like phase one perspective and reader perspective, and they're two different things, and you can float between the two. Neutral and positive are describing the same thing. They're just two different words. There are some mind machines of which Roberts was one, is not anymore, except in some ways, I guess it still is, that are very anal and need to be very accurate and need to be very precise. And so from this perspective, an argument can be made. Negative is a judgment and positive is a judgment. So if there's no judgments about the emotions, I can't call it positive. It's not true, but a mind machine buzzword, purely logical, can come up with that argument, and it's a valid argument. So in that case, you could call it neutral. But they're just words describing the movement of energy without stories, which you've said is happening a lot for you. It doesn't matter if you call it neutral or positive, it's the same thing. It's the movement of energy, however the energy moves, with whatever unique characteristics, without a story, without a judgment, without a name. And that, from everything that you've shared, is happening in the Sherry story. It's miraculous. It's amazing. It's a gigantic breakthrough. It's a direct experience of truth with capital T as it relates to emotions. It's ultimate freedom as it relates to emotions. It's gigantic. It's not being appreciated that way. It's not being seen that way. Because the mind machine is coming in here, attaching neutral to it, and defining neutral as being flatter, not positive, not as good, somehow less than. And it's not true. It's not true. So I will invite you to listen to this. Let it sit. See if you can actually experience this, because it's the same thing. The mind machine is creating this artificial split between neutral and positive. It's saying, I'm experiencing neutral, positive's better. Hopefully someday I'll be able to experience positive like Robert does. And it's a myth. It's a ghost. It's not true. I could describe everything that I am experiencing, bear with the eye, as neutral or positive. It doesn't matter. It's describing the same thing, which is a wide variety of emotions, which you are narrating, you're having, although you're saying the positives have lost their peaks, which maybe that's true, maybe it's not, I don't know. Could be. I could neutral and positive, in my language, are both descriptors of a wide variety of emotions with their unique characteristics, experiencing the pure raw experience of them without stories, without labels, without judgments. And that's exactly what you're narrating that you're experiencing, except there's this neutral story that's got a negative, limiting, restricting, less than kind of a tinge to it. Okay, finally, she continues, but the answer doesn't matter because true creative essence will turn the page and the story will go on the way it does. That's absolutely true. Okay, Sherry, again, I invite you to let this ripple, perhaps listen to it again. Let it sit a few days, week, whatever. Pick it up, listen to it again, see where it goes. Okay, cool. Let's see what's next. This is from Isabel. What video from what day is the last one you watched? Good Will Hunting. I've been through the Ultimate Key to Freedom online 3 times. Smiles. If you don't know, there is a clip from the movie Good Will Hunting with Robin Williams and Matt Damon that I shared with people. It comes automatically after you've been involved with the Ultimate Freedom teachings for a while. So if you haven't seen that, you'll get that at some point. The movie was called Good Will Hunting. So, okay. Hi, Robert. And she's using transformational vocabulary here, but I'm not going to read the quotes unless it's very important. So know that she is, which again, I maintain is very useful, or can be. Definitely was in the Robert story. Hi, Robert. I am on my 3rd round of Ultimate Key to Freedom online, and I feel I, in quotes, am finally getting it. My programs must have been very tight or dense. I'm going to stop there. All of ours are, Isabel. Some more dense than others, but they have to be in order for phase 1 to work. They have to be in order for the human experience to unfold as it does. You are not unique in that. Clearly, my story evidenced how tight or dense, to use your language, mine were. But all of ours are. And again, if you look at my story, which I've narrated multiple times, that was many years. At this point, just going through the Ultimate Key to Freedom online 3 times, however much time that's taken for you, is not a very long period of time. So the fact that there's movement, so to speak, there's progress, so to speak, there's breakthrough, so to speak, is huge. And it's happening much more quickly for you than it did for me. So, you know, nothing to apologize for here, so to speak. This is not slow. You're not the dullard of the class. In fact, you're moving much more rapidly than I did, and that in your story, this is what's happening, and that it happens for many other characters. So I just wanted to push on that. That's some old mind machine program, my guess is, about Isabel getting things slower, taking more time to whatever, something like that, some old thing in the mind machine. So anyway, okay, continuing. It's really fascinating to see my mind machine and its algorithms and programs. I'm fairly new to the teachings, but have had a few blips during my years of practicing Tai Chi, Qigong, and meditating a few hours a day. One in particular matches your experience. One day I saw very clearly that I don't exist, and I could not stop laughing at how ridiculously ridiculous it is that everyone runs around all serious about stuff, stressing out about nothing. Let me stop there. I know what you're saying, Isabel, and I just want to push on that to shine a little bit more truth into something. From one perspective, you could say it's ridiculous and it seems silly and how could I have been so stupid and not seen the truth and all that kind of stuff, but it's not ridiculous. It's not silly. It's not stupid. It's not blind. It's a miracle. True creative essence had to use, bear with the language, every ounce of creativity in order to create that illusion and make it appear real, just like Hollywood does these days with special effects. They spend millions of dollars and hours and hours and hours of time with very powerful computers and extremely creative and brilliant and talented people to make illusions appear real. And it's amazing. It's miraculous. It's again, I know what you mean here. And I just want to also add that piece. Everyone runs around all serious about stuff and stressing out about nothing because that's what makes great stories. That's what the whole human experience is all about, is that, although I would describe it in a different way. So anyway, I know what you're saying. I'm not minimizing the insight. It's valuable. I get it. It's exciting. It's fun. It's entertaining. And I just wanted to add that other piece in there. Continuing, it was a huge day, and I told my teachers about this, and no one could give me any clue to what this means. The next day, I was a bit angry to have been put into this setup or prison slash a comma mental prison. After a while, I returned back to the usual conditioning. Now, for the first time after this blip, I am starting seeing this again, but this time it's different. It's more like I know from experience I don't exist, and it's becoming clearer and clearer every day. I'd like to thank you for recommending Good Will Hunting. I love watching movies, and this one in particular has hit home for my character. Please send more movies that support your work. I have one question for you regarding the Matrix movie. I'm curious to know what you related the machine world of the movie to be. Is it the mind machine? And how about the architect and the oracle? Are they yin and yang from the one came to? The splitter duality. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate you and your work. Well, I can tell you, Isabel, there are books, many, many books that have been written about the symbolism and the truth that's buried within the Matrix movie. And I have most of those books, but I haven't read them. Someday I may, because I am curious about this kind of stuff. And it's very clear that the makers of the Matrix trilogy had read many things related to truth with a capital T and intentionally buried things, symbolic things of what everything meant. And it was a highly symbolic, very deep, so to speak, movie beyond the action. But I don't know most of those things. I'm not aware of it. I wasn't aware of it as I watched the movie. I just looked at it as a story. And I never analyzed it and I never tried to figure these things out. So I never thought about what the machine world meant, except if you go back to what Michael Haig said about a great story, there's a hero, there's the nemesis, there's somebody that's blocking the hero, there's a bad guy, you know, that needs to be overcome, there's evil that needs to be defeated. And so to me, the machine world represented that. It was the obstacles, it was the nemesis. It was what made the journey of Neo so interesting and made it such a great story. And I never really looked, I didn't even think about that consciously. But if I had any awareness of the machine world, it was just at that kind of a level. It wasn't more deep. I'm sure that there's a lot that's been written. about the machine world and about the architect and the oracle, and some of it could just be interpretation that may or may not be accurate. I'm sure there are statements by the makers of the movie about their intention for the architect and the oracle, but to me, I just perceive them as cool story elements. I found them fascinating. In terms of significance for our purpose here, none has appeared in the Robert story. If you were to read some of these books, or somebody were to talk to you, or you were to go to Google and type in, what's the significance? What's the spiritual significance? What's the meaning? What's the symbolism of the architect and the oracle and the machine world? If you go into Google and search on that, you may find some stuff that would be very supportive to the Isabel story, maybe just interesting and not all that impactful, but there's no other awareness of any of that kind of stuff that appeared in my case. I'm not built in general. The Robert character's not built in general to see that kind of symbolism and to break things apart at that kind of a level. I never have been, not when reading stories and not when reading fiction and so many things with stories and other stuff. I remember studying in school where you then had to learn what the experts said was the symbolism of it and all that. I never saw any of that. I had some doubts about it, that the interpretations were accurate. And then I remember I had an interesting experience one day. There are some writers, like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest, excuse me, Ernest Hemingway and some other writers that actually lived to see their writings taught in schools. And they lived to see these people, experts, that were saying, well, when F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote da-da-da-da, he was intentionally pointing to da-da-da-da symbolism point. And I read stories about this kind of a thing and the author saying, no, maybe I did that subconsciously or unconsciously, or some aspect of my subconscious mind did that, but I was not consciously aware when I wrote that scene of da 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 da. And with the minute I read something like that, in the way the Robert character was built, there was an even greater skepticism about a lot of this kind of stuff. So I'm not built, haven't been built to see that kind of stuff. I haven't been built, especially after Ultimate Freedom Awakened, bear with the language, to analyze things from that kind of a perspective, and nothing presented itself while I was watching the movies as I've rewatched them in recent times. It's just been enjoying the story, and there were story elements, and that's all. But I'm sure there's a lot of interesting stuff about that. And thank you for the appreciation. I, quote unquote, meaning true creative essence, appreciates Robert and appreciates the work too. Thank you very much for that comment. Okay, well, that does it for this week. Boy, was a long one, as I predicted at the beginning. Thank you all very much for your contributions. Great questions, great comments, great examples of the various ways that the truth virus can work, the various kinds of collisions that take place, the stages that I talked about that it very often moves through. And I find all of this fascinating and interesting and entertaining, and underneath all of it, there is an appearance of a wish, if you will, that in its own way, in its own time, of course, unique for all of us, that ultimate freedom will fully awaken in all of your stories. That's always my wish. And on that note, I will say bye-bye for now. Thanks again. I'll look forward to our next forms of contact, whatever shape they take. Bye-bye for now. If you happen to be getting this, seeing this, hearing this on a Friday, which is when I'm uploading it, then I wish you a great weekend too. Okay, bye-bye for now.